You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Nothing is opened more wrongly and often than our mouth. You been there? All of us have. Reminds me of the story of the young man who was a grocery clerk, and he had a lady come up to him and say, "Sir, can I buy a half a head of lettuce?" And he just couldn't believe it. And so he walked back to his manager, not realizing that this lady was following him. And he said this to his manager, "You're not going to believe it, but there's some old lady, some old bag, who is out there asking if she can buy a half a head of lettuce." And he saw his manager's face and realized something was up, and he looked over his left shoulder, and he just responded, "And this lady would like to buy the other half." Have you been there? Yes, some of us have a silver boot that we stick in our mouth constantly, over and over again. Oh, by the way, are you pregnant? No. Oh. Is that your father? No, that's my brother. We've all been there, of where we've opened our mouth and inserted that silver boot in our mouth. And so we're in this series. It's called My Big Fat Mouth, and it's got me in trouble. 9 chances out of 10, it's gotten you in trouble. And so let's just do a little review here, okay? Here's what we learned last week. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to download the podcast. You can go to New Point app and be able to get that, or to the website. But here's what we learned, and it's this. We are called to listen first and talk less. And what we ended up learning was this. Listening first and talking less will equal staying calm. That it's not only a decision that you and I can make, but it's also a result that when we have the ability to listen first, to seek to understand before being understood, we're willing to listen first and talk less, we're more calm. We're more cool. We're more collective. And this is huge. Now, here's the challenge for us, okay? We all are after the same thing. In every relationship that you are involved in, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether it's with a parent, whether it's with a child, whether it's with a boss, whether it's with an employee, whatever, we're all after the same thing. We want to be heard. We all want to be understood. And that's the key. And so for that to happen in my relationships, for that to happen in your relationship, we have to understand listening first and talking less equals staying calm, and it allows you and I to be able to hear the other person and understand the other person. Now, what I want to talk to us about today is this. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. They're very, very powerful. You know, you have heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. That's just a lie. Words are powerful. And my life, as well as your life, have been impacted and been influenced by words. Words that have been spoken to us, to other people, over us, and about us. There's words that have been spoken to you as a child that has impacted your life greatly, even as an adult. There's words that have been spoken over you as a child that still is influencing you to this day. And there's words that's been spoken about you that's impacting you. You see, words influenced your childhood. Words influence your marriage. Words influence your family. Words influence the workplace. And words impact your confidence. Words impact how you view yourself. You see, people with no confidence have gained confidence through other people's words, by speaking it over them. And people with extraordinary confidence have lost it because of words that have been spoken to them. You know, I remember my own father. My father would speak over us, and he would tell us that we could be anything that God is asking us to be. And my sister Brenda, she happens to be a pastor. She lives in a man's world. And she repeatedly would hear my dad tell her, "You know what, honey? If God is asking you to do that, if God is calling you to do that, then you know what? He's going to give you the ability to do that." And what that's done and what that's allowed is for her to be able to go through all kinds of chaos, all kinds of criticism, all kinds of conflict to fulfill her calling because of what was spoken over her. And so words are powerful, and words matter. Words matter to us. And what we have to understand about how much they matter is this right here. They weigh, the weight is varies. It varies in the weight of the words. You know, a word from a father is powerful. It's powerful. A word from a mother to a daughter is 500 pounds. And so the weight of our words vary. The words that we speak and the words that we receive. You know, I've heard it said that it takes 7 positive words to overcome 1 negative word. Why? Because we don't forget those hurtful words. We don't forget those painful words. And we rarely remember the encouraging words. Can happen in a review at work, okay? You can say 9 things that's good, and yet if you want to coach or correct in one area, that person no doubt will leave that room forgetting about the 9 things that you said, but will remember the 1 thing that you said because of the weight of the word. The weight varies, but the source matters. You know, who speaks those words to us and over us and about us are huge, huge. And so we need to understand that. We need to realize that, that words are weighty and they vary, but also the source in which they come from matters a great deal. And it leads me to this, that recovery differs. Recovery differs. The recovery time isn't the same for everybody, because we've all had different experiences. We've all had different conversations. We've all grown up in different homes. And so the recovery time differs. And no amount of words can immediately bring back recovery. The implication that I'm sorry, okay, doesn't immediately make everything well. It just doesn't. Because words are that powerful. Words matter. And what happens sometimes, and this happens in our marriages a lot, you know, we say something, we get in this exchange with our partner, okay, and what happens is we say, "I'm sorry," and then we wonder why they're not better. Why aren't you okay? Why aren't you back where we started from? Well, because recovery differs. You know, it's kind of like this. If somebody would slam your finger in the door and say, "I'm sorry," does that mean all the pain stops? No. There's going to be a recovery time for you. There's going to be a recovery time for that person. And words hurt. And words do not automatically make things better. And so what do we have to do? Well, we're called to listen first, talk less, and to be able to stay calm. And so I want all of us to understand that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is a flat-out lie. It comes from the darkest place that you can imagine. We're going to learn about that today. And so this is the great challenge for you and me. This is huge. And I want to walk us through a passage. It's in the book of James. We learned last week he's the half-brother of Jesus. And he has a lot of practical advice. And whether you are a Christ follower or not, you're going to be able to relate and connect with him. Maybe you struggle with believing that the Bible is the Bible. Well, you're going to agree with this, I promise you. Because it's so practical and straightforward. And it's really no room to debate on this. And so let's look at what James has to say, beginning at verse 2. Here's what he says. We all stumble in many ways. Would you agree with that? All of us do. There's not a person in this room or at one of our campuses that does not stumble in many, many ways. We all struggle with our mouth. Who doesn't struggle with your mouth? Okay, we all do. We all do. We all have that nasty, unthoughtful word, or that proud word, or that selfish word, or that self-serving exaggeration, or that sly suggestion, or that word of anger, or that word of slander, or that word of gossip, or that innuendo, or words of doubt, or rebellious words. What happens is we all stumble with our words. And we do it in many ways, not just one, but many ways. James goes on to say this, and anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, and they're able to keep their whole body in check. Wow. He's basically saying this, hey, Dwight, hey, Pete, hey, Lucy, you know what? If you will gain control of your words, if you'll learn how to manage your mouth, you'll keep yourself out of a lot of trouble. But if you never get around managing your mouth, you know what? You're constantly going to be in trouble. You're constantly going to be in conflict. He goes on to say this. He says, because he's given illustrations now. He says, when we put bits in the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Wow. What's he saying here? He is saying, you know, I read that the average horse weighs somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds. Put a little jockey on there. That weighs about 95 pounds, okay? Just a little bit smaller than me. And you know what? He can put a bit in that horse's mouth, a steel plate over its tongue, and this 95-pound man can guide and lead and control a 2,500-pound horse. He says he can turn the whole animal. So what does that say to you and me? It says that words, okay, words determine my direction. Determine my directions. And so what happens is, if you don't like the direction of your life, if I don't like the direction of my life, if I don't like the quality of my life, then what happens is I have to come back and I have to look at my words. What am I saying? What am I conveying? And he says this, he gives another illustration. He says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, external forces, okay? They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Wow. Now let me just give you a picture of this, okay? This is Queen Mary. Okay? Queen Mary is an unbelievable large ship. Let me tell you how large she is. I may have just got myself in trouble. Did you hear what I said? How large she is. Okay? Forgive me. She has 3 acres of recreation space. 3 acres. Okay? The anchor weighs as much as 10 cars. And yet it's guided and steered by a small rudder. Wow. Good sized ship there. James gives us the illustration. You know what? It's like our tongue. It's like my tongue. It's like your tongue. It determines the direction in which you're headed in your relationships and in life. And so James continues and he says this, likewise the tongue. The tongue has about 8 muscles, okay? Doesn't weigh very much, okay? But you know what? Here's what he says. Likewise the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Okay, it makes great boasts. That means we exaggerate. We don't always tell the truth, okay? And here's what he says. He says, consider what a great force, when a great force is set on fire by a small spark. Here's what he's saying. Small little spark. It can what? Let's look. It can start a mammoth fire. Unbelievable fire. And guess what? Even though I didn't mean for it to happen, I'm still responsible that it did happen. And so even though I may have not meant to say those words, guess what? I am still responsible for my words. And so what James is saying is if you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. You can manage that. And your tongue and my tongue has the ability to destroy relationships. Not only determine my direction, but just like a spark that lights up a forest and it does incredible damage, it can destroy relationships. It can destroy your marriage. It can destroy your career. James goes on to say this. He says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. He goes on to say, it corrupts the whole body. Wow. Just like that bit controls that large animal, and just like the rudder controls that large ship. He is saying that the power of your tongue, the power of my tongue, it has the ability to corrupt the whole body. And set, he goes on to say, the whole course of one's life on fire. Wow. And so here I am today with you, and you know what? I could say some things to you right now. And you could come back next week for part 3, and I'm not here. And you might say, where did Dwight go? Well, were you there? No. Well, he said some things that, you know what? Corrupted his whole body. And it set the whole course of his life on fire. And Dwight will no longer be the pastor at New Point. Get the message? See, he goes on to say this, and it's set on fire by hell. He's not talking about a place, he's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan, that Satan wants to set your tongue and my tongue on fire so that it will destroy everything in our life, so that it'll destroy our marriage, so that it'll destroy our family, so that it'll destroy our friendships. and it'll just wreak havoc. See, he says it corrupts the whole body. You see, divorces begin and are initiated through words. Murder happens and are initiated through words. And it doesn't just affect your mouth, it affects, he says, your whole body. And so we need to understand that words matter, that words are powerful, that they determine the direction of our life, that they can destroy our relationships. And what happens many times when we say these words, and maybe somebody confronts us, what do? We use more words. We say stuff like this: well, I was just being honest. Or, you know what? I'm so sorry. I had too much to drink. I was a little tipsy-turvy a little bit there. Or I was mad. Or I didn't mean it. And yet, just like with a spark that starts a fire, if you start a fire accidentally, you are still responsible for starting the fire. And so we need to understand that our words matter and that they determine the direction of our life, and not only the direction of our life, but they can destroy our relationships. James goes on and he gives another illustration. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. He's saying that, you know what, we can tame animals, but he goes on to let us know this: but no human being can tame the tongue. Wow. No human being can tame the tongue. It's untamable. You can't do it. I can't do it. None of us can do it. And he goes on to say, it is restless evil, full of deadly poison. It means that it kills. That the words that you say, the words that you speak to others and about others and over others, is deadly. It's deadly. The words that you speak, Father, to your sons and daughters, if you're not careful, it can be deadly. Mom, the words that you speak, if you're not careful, it can be deadly. And James is letting us know this great challenge that all of us have and all of us are faced with. He goes on to say this. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Wow. The word curse here doesn't necessarily mean profanity. What it means is when we say stuff like this, you'll never amount to nothing. You're stupid. I don't see very much in you. Those are words that curse people. See, he says here that we have the ability to curse human beings. And he says that we have a tendency to do that to other people who are made in the image of God. And so words not only determine the direction of my life, it not only destroys relationships, but it displays my heart. It really lets people know what's going on in my heart. You see, James goes on to say this. He says, my brothers and sisters, which he's including all of us, this should not be. He said, you shouldn't be cursing one another. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? He's given an illustration here. He says, my brothers and sisters, he says, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring water, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Basically, what he is saying here is that it comes from our heart. It displays what's in my heart. Outwardly, I might be trying to deliver spring water, but eventually, if salt water's in my heart, it's going to come out. It's going to bear forth what is there. And so here's the challenge. The challenge is, what do I do? So what do I do? So what do you do? Because here's what we need to understand, okay? The tongue is untamable, okay? So what do we do in light of that? You know, I just want to give you some thoughts, some considerations of how you and I can begin to, we'll never fully be able to tame the tongue, but we can begin to manage the tongue. And how can you and I begin to do that? Because words are powerful. There's life and there's death in the tongue. They determine the direction of our life. They can destroy relationships. And they ultimately display what's in my heart. Let me give us something to think about. Here's the first thing. That is, recognize the power of words. We've got to recognize the power of words. You're a very, very powerful person because you wield words. And words are powerful, especially when you're angry, especially when you're frustrated. That's why James would say, listen first. Talk less so that you will stay calm. Proverbs, Solomon says this, and we've looked at this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who speak it will reap the consequences. And at any moment, this is scary, this is humbling. At any moment, you and I can say something that can bring death upon somebody. Death upon a son, death upon a daughter, death upon a wife, death upon a husband, death upon a boyfriend, death upon a girlfriend, death upon anyone, mom, dad, all of us. And so we got to recognize and remember the power of our words. And secondly, we need to surrender our heart. You need to surrender your heart. We need to surrender our heart to God. Why? Because we've learned that our words display our heart. Jesus said it like this. He said, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. He basically says, whatever in your heart, whatever in my heart is eventually going to come out. And if you have a problem with your tongue, you got a problem in your heart. You have a heart problem. Somebody has said it like this. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. On the other hand, a person who is always encouraging has a happy heart. A person who speaks gently has a loving heart. And a person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. And so it's out of the mouth, or it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so I have to be able to come and I have to be able to say, God, I need your help. I can't tame my tongue. There's things that come out of it that are destructive, that are hurtful, that are painful. I love what it says in Job's chapter 11. Now, what you need to realize is this is one of the three friends of Job that's trying to correct him. And his words are true. It's just not his motive. But I want us to hear it. And here's what he says, because it's true for me and it's true, I believe, for all of us. Here's what it says. Surrender your heart to God. Turn to him in prayer and give up your sins, even those you do in secret. That's words about people when they're not in your presence. Then you won't be ashamed. And you will be confident and fearless. You ever felt embarrassed by walking into somebody's presence because you know you just talked about them? You're not confident. You're fearful. Y'all okay? I have. And so what he asks of you and what he asks of me is to surrender our heart. to surrender our heart. And maybe that's where you need to go today and just say, God, you know what? I want to surrender my heart to you today because I know it's out of my heart that my mouth speaks. And so we need to recognize the power of our words. We need to remember that our words are powerful and that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will always hurt me. And then I would suggest that we confess and own our part. Confess and own our part. Because guess what? You're going to say things you shouldn't say. All of us. Why? Because our tongue is untamable. We're going to say. It's not if you will, it's when you will. When are you going to stick your foot in your mouth? It's just a matter of time. It's what James would say. And so what I would suggest to you and what I would suggest to myself is this. Confess and own your part. Don't explain it away. Well, if you wouldn't have, I wouldn't have needed to. Don't make excuses. Confess it and own it. And by the way, there's no place for sarcasm. None. None. Because what happens is when we're sarcastic and somebody calls us out on it, what do we say? Well, I was just kidding. Really? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we need to confess and own it so that what happens is we can be able to experience some kind of healing. Here's what James would say, confess your sins one to another so that you might be healed, so that you might be confident, so that you might be fearless, so that you might be genuine, so that you might be authentic. And so let me talk to the fathers here for a moment. Nobody has more power with their words than you do in your family. None. Your words are like a 1,000-pound gorilla. And whether you're speaking to your wife or whether you're speaking to your kids, they are powerful. And to get sarcastic with your daughter or with your son doesn't work. It does damage. Even if everybody in the room's laughing. Moms, your words are powerful to your kids too. That critical spirit, whatever, is powerful. And by the way, every son and daughter, your words to your mom and dad are unbelievable. Well, that's just dad. He's a big guy. He can get over it. I know. The words that you speak to your dad, I promise you, are gut-wrenching and painful. The words that you say to your mom are powerful. They weigh heavy. They're painful. And so maybe you're here today and maybe you grew up in a home of where words were reckless and words were spoken in an unthoughtful way. What I would encourage you to do today is to say, I'm breaking the cycle. It ends with me. We're not going to talk to one another like this anymore. It shapes us too much. It has the potential to destroy the very thing that we need most in our life. And just be able to say, hey, you know what? It's going to end with me. And just confess and own it. And what I have found out, okay, is it starts the healing. The healing may not be instant, But what happens is when you and I confess and own what we should, and we don't explain it away, and we don't make an excuse, and we just say, hey, you know what, that was wrong of me to say, and I'm sorry. What happens is that begins a healing process that God can work in and God can move. And because you and I cannot tame our tongue, the only thing we can do is manage it. Because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we stick our foot in our mouth. So let me give you this last one as we wrap up. And that is this, to guard your heart and your mouth. That's all we can do. We can't tame it, so we need to be able to guard our heart and our mouth. Here's what Solomon would say. He says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the quality of your life. It determines the relationships of your life. It determines you, because there's life and death in the tongue. And then the psalmist writes it like this, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God, I need help with my tongue. I need help with my words. Because it determines the direction of my life. It determines whether I will have healthy relationships or destructive relationships. And ultimately, God, it reveals who I am. It reveals my character. And I want to be like you. And so how do we guard our heart and how do we guard our mouth? Because we can't tame it. I would suggest that over the next 30 days, we pray this prayer. Here's what the psalmist prayed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. God, what I say to Patty, what I say to Caleb and Sarah, Nate and Jonathan and Ben, I want them to be pleasing to you. God, what I say to the staff, what I say to my friends, I want it to be pleasing to you. And he not only addresses our words, he addresses where our words come from and the meditation of my heart. God, I not only want to say the right words, but you know what? I want to have good thoughts about them in my heart. Because if I don't have good thoughts about them in my heart, guess what? It's eventually going to make its way to my mouth. And I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. And so God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. And you know what? I believe he'll answer that prayer for you. I believe he'll answer that prayer for me. Would you pray with me? God, I pray for myself. And I pray for my friends here today that we would realize that words are powerful, that we would recognize the power of words and that we would remember that, that we would live in a position of surrender to you, and that when we do stick our foot in our mouth, when we do speak out of line, that we would confess and own it. We wouldn't try to explain it away. We wouldn't make excuses. We would just own it. And so help us, God, to guard our hearts, because it's out of our hearts that our mouth speaks. Because we know that it determines the direction of our life. It determines the quality of our relationships. And it really determines where our heart really is. And we want it to be with you. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media. And don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message. And we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.